What comes to your mind when you hear the word surrender? On the field of battle, an unconditional surrender is the total and complete ceding of power and control to one's enemy. For example, on August 15, 1945, the Japanese Emperor Hirohito announced the unconditional surrender of Japan to the Allied forces, placing both the emperor and the entire Japanese government under the de facto rule of U.S. General Douglas MacArthur. For those who may be familiar with MMA, it might be to tap out to acknowledge the victory and preeminence of the other fighter. So what does the word surrender mean? Here are a few definitions. To relinquish possession or control of something to another because of demand or compulsion. To give up in favor of another, especially voluntarily. To give up or abandon. And Britannica has it as to agree to stop fighting, hiding, resisting, etc., because you know you will not win or succeed. When I was about 7 years old, my family went to visit my grandparents. We knew them as Mom and Pop. And the afternoon we arrived, we were in the backyard playing wiffle ball. And at some point, I don't know how it came to be this way, I ended up near my grandpa, who was standing, or actually reclining on the patio, and I pretended to hit him with the wiffle ball bat. He looked at me and he said, "Timmy, don't." Needless to say, I hit him with the wiffle ball bat. I whacked him with it. Not super hard, but it was enough. It made a noise, impishly grinning, I'm sure. And he took that bat, pulled it out of my hands, and he hit me back with it, harder. Not to be outdone, I grabbed the bat back and I hit him again. This went on a couple of times. Needless to say, this was one of the more minor surrender incidents in my life. Not only would my day have been better had I listened, it would have been less painful. I wish I could say it was the last time I ever poked the bear, but that would not be true either. How many times have we resisted and clung to our own wills, whether out of stubbornness or fear of the unknown? Fear of what will happen if or when we do surrender. How many times has the road been more arduous, more painful, more grief-stricken because of bad decisions and God sometimes making it so to get our attention? Please turn to Jonah 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. Jonah 1, verses 1 through 5. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid. They cried out, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. These were men accustomed to being tossed and turned on the sea, so this must have been quite some storm, and a custom-prepared fish to go along with it. That God would go to these lengths to get Jonah's attention, I think, is a testament to the value he places on us, his children, and it was most definitely not a comfortable experience for Jonah. And so often, it's not such an easy thing to surrender, to submit, letting go of the physical, the things we can see, feel, hear, taste, and touch, and allowing God to direct our paths, whether it's something we're going through or something we know God wants us to do or not to do, in every facet of our lives. The process of surrender is an ongoing and constant endeavor. God wants our total surrender in everything. And it's a constant process. It's not something we do once. We do it every day in just about every little facet of our lives. I believe the key is not to pull back, withhold, resist, or refuse, but to trust. But how do we trust someone in these instances if we don't know who they are? If We don't have a relationship with them. And we heard this a couple of weeks ago. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. And we'll read verses 16 through 18. To draw closer to him. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. I'll read from the NIV. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This would put us in a constant state of contact with God if we were to pray continually. If we are out in our daily lives, walking around, every little thing that we do, getting out of our car, walking through the parking lot, what is it that we're doing? Are we in tune with God? Are we interacting with people in the same way consistently, no matter where we are? There's a lot to it. God responds to prayer, praise, and obedience. And this leads to and helps us with the next thing, which is trust. Trust him. We know this one well also. If you turn Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. I need a new Bible. I can't see this so well anymore. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend or do not lean on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. In all your ways, submit to him. And I reverse that a little bit. In all your ways, submit to him. Submit to him. Surrender to him. And he will direct your paths. Leaning not on your own understanding is not easy. It's also not possible without that submission and constant relationship with God. And we're going to need it so we may be strengthened in times of trouble and times of crisis. I'll read two more scriptures. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? My emphasis. Jesus himself set the example. You'll also turn with me to Mark 14, verse 34. Mark 14, verse 34. He, Jesus, went a little farther on, threw himself on the ground, and prayed that, if possible, he might not have to go through that time of suffering. That must have been terrible. I can't imagine. Father, he prayed, my Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. I can't imagine that. It's just, what a terribly difficult decision to make. To hand that over when you just don't know. You think that your life is gone. It's ended as a human being anyway, putting myself in that spot. Not what I want, but what you want. So this will not be easy. But Jesus Christ has paved the way for us, and we will know God's love for us more fully as we daily surrender to him unconditionally.